Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to wake up! Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Well, it's good to be back in studio here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We had a great weekend. I passed in to the organic food that I was able to get in Columbus, Ohio. Who knew? I didn't know. It was great. I usually bring all my food everywhere I go just in time or enough so I can get to a health food store to get the organic food that I need. That's just what I do. That's the way I run things. And in this case, it was really great, but I'm still glad to be home. My wife cooking, home cooking. You can't beat it. But as we look into the soap opera that is Congress today, as we launch the Robert Scott Bell Show this hour, we have to acknowledge the compromise. That was a compromise, or was it a compromise? I don't even know what to make of this as I'm reading about all the stories. That's why, you know, when I commented on it yesterday, it was like, it didn't matter that they said that they had a compromise. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And now we found out that Joe Biden thinks we're all having tea with terrorists, or that Tea Party people are terrorists, that we've been dealing with terrorists. What is this all about, Don? We got Tea Party terrorists now? What do they do? Blow up some Democrats on the road to this compromise? How do they claim a Tea Party person is a terrorist related to the debt ceiling?
Basically, what Biden was doing is he was saying that trying to negotiate was like negotiating with terrorists. And basically, I'm not sure why. I haven't quite figured it out yet. It's probably not too difficult to figure out. But
yeah,
they are trying to put the blame on the Tea Party as to why the Republicans were being so resistant to the, quote, compromise. So the Tea Party, they basically were trying to act like the Tea Party is some kind of fringe political terrorism group that doesn't want to get along or let anything happen easily. My opinion on that, I mean, look, yeah, Biden's the one that said it.
Sure. You know, Biden's famous for his gaffes, isn't he?
I've got a whole list of things that Biden has said where he stuck his foot in his mouth. So, you know, you just have to take it with a grain of salt when it comes to Biden. The way I look at this, though, is that they're trying to demonize the Tea Party for standing up for the principles, standing up for what they believe in, standing up for what it was they were elected to do, which was to not go with the status quo,
not
be a part of the old guard. Yeah. And so they stuck to their guns. You know, they said, no, there's not going to be any tax increases. We want a balanced budget amendment. You know, we've got to do this by the book, by the Constitution, the way it's supposed to be done. And so now they're being targeted as people that aren't going to compromise. Where do you compromise on this?
This changes the whole definition of terrorism. I mean, it's a moving target. It's an Orwellian thing. Now the definition of a terrorist is someone who doesn't compromise with Democrats. Honestly, I mean, how far are we going to push this changing definitions to now you can be a Tea Party terrorist? Let's have tea with a Tea Party terrorist because they're not going to compromise. And that's like being a terrorist. What the hell is that? Come on, man.
Well, you know, if crooks are trying to get you to compromise with them, are you going to do it? No. And that's really just what it comes down to. And we've got a political system, a two-party system, where everything is entrenched and established as to this is how it's going to be, this is how it is. welcome, freshmen, come on in. Hey, welcome to the club, but mind your own business. Let us run the game and let us show you how it's done. Some of these guys aren't doing that. They aren't. They aren't. They aren't giving in. They aren't caving in. And I tell you what, you got to hand it to those guys.
Hats off to them. Hey, listen, economic healing is. We launched the Robert Scott Bell Show today here on Natural News Radio. Mike Adams, Natural News, has been following the story as well. The so-called compromise that happened. I mean, it's not even a done deal. Even if they put it in there, they're still talking about the super Congress and all of these unconstitutional, extra constitutional things. If you think we're making this up, again, I've got this linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. Vice President Joe Biden joined House Democrats in lashing Tea Party Republicans Monday, accusing them what? Of having acted like terrorists in the fight over raising the nation's debt limit. Say what you want about Al-Qaeda, but I don't think they resorted to the techniques of the Tea Party where they said, hold fast to the Constitution. And that's
Robert, you remember, it was a few months ago.
Yeah.
We were talking about how the Department of Homeland Security was taking a close look at people that were saying certain things and listening to certain types of programs and doing sorts of things and putting them more or less on a watch list to consider them to be homegrown terrorists. And so, the terrorist thing is something that's just kind of thrown around. And basically, if you don't want to go along with the status quo, then we're going to throw you and lump you in with that group of people that they may call terrorists.
This is something else. This is something else. Biden was agreeing with a line of argument made by Representative Mike Doyle, Democrat from Pennsylvania, at a two-hour closed-door Democratic caucus meeting. Listen to what he said here, Don. We have negotiated with terrorists, was according to an angry Doyle, according to sources in the room. This small group of terrorists have made it impossible to spend any money. so now we got the definition of a terrorist holding an Uzi or something saying, do not spend any money or we'll shoot. And of course, that's a definition I never heard of. We don't want you to spend your money. We want to hold the budget. We want to reduce expenditures. Now that's the definition of a terrorist, according to a Democratic House of Representatives kind of guy here.
You just want to reach over, grab Biden by the neck, and give him a shake and say, what in the heck got us into this problem to begin with, Biden?
Yeah.
It was spending. Mm. One of many things, obviously. But, what has been the mantra of this thing all along? Even the Democrats have been saying, we need to cut spending. And, they treat us like we're little kids. If you spend more than you take in, then we need to do something. No kidding, guys.
Yes.
But, for Biden to come out and say that these guys are terrorists because they're not allowing them to spend on anything. That's the problem. We're spending money we don't have. We're spending money that doesn't even exist.
Right. And now they're also being called arsonists, right? Burning down the house. We need some talking heads here. Representative Emanuel Cleaver. Meet Cleaver Emanuel. Democrat, Missouri, called it a Satan sandwich. Satan sandwich.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. This deal is a Satan sandwich. And Representative Luis Gutierrez, Democrat from Illinois, he seemed to enjoy the heat analogy of a Satan sandwich and said the Tea Partiers and the GOP have made their slash and burn lunacy clear. And while I do not love this compromise, my vote is a hose to stop the burning. The arsonist must be stopped. This is an incredible thing. And none of them can actually acknowledge the fact that the whole of Washington, D.C., as we have said here, we have been equal opportunity offenders on this because we're not partisan in regards to saying, the Republicans are wonderful, Don, and the Democrats are evil. No, we don't play that game. Anybody who is bankrupting the country and throwing debt on children and grandchildren and children yet to be born, those are the Satanists. And that includes this Emanuel Cleaver in this case, if we alter the definitions as they have.
Yeah, there honestly is no difference outside of some social issues, some social things, when it comes to fiscal policy, and foreign policy. There really is not much of a difference between the two, and this is the problem we've run into.
Yes.
for far too long is that we've got a two-party system when the majority of America is not to the right, they're not to the left, they're right down the middle, and there just has not been anybody yet really who has been able to represent those people who's had the ability to try and compete on a level playing field. This is why you see people that are pushing for Ron Paul to run as an independent. You know, there's people like Jesse Ventura that says, I will not run unless Ron Paul runs as an independent. You know, it's people like, you know, back in 92 when Ross Perot ran.
You're right.
You know, I was a part of that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't agree with everything the guy had to say, but here was a guy.
He was right about a lot of things, wasn't he?
He was a plain-talking Texan who just told you what it was and would just put up the chart with his little pointer stick and show you how everything was screwed up in the country. But people believed in the guy. He spoke the people's language. And this is what really, honestly, in my opinion, this is, you know, little disclaimer, this is just Don's opinion. But, you know, that is what this country is going to end up needing, because both sides have become so corrupt and bought out by all of the corporate interests and all of the lobbyists that the only way that things are going to change in this country is one of two things. One person is going to stand up. And honestly, I will be fair and say that I would vote for a Democrat if a Democrat was going to do the right thing. It doesn't make any difference to me what letter comes after their name.
Right.
But somebody has to step up and say, you know what? Enough is enough.
Don,
you've done this wrong for too long, and we've got to do this the right way. Or somebody's got to come from outside the system, outside the Beltway, and they have got to just take it on head on. And if somebody does, and if there's somebody who people will believe and people will stand behind, they will get elected. Ross Perot, even though he went in, they got out, and then got back in again, he still came out with 19% of the vote in an election when he ended up being a screwball. That's got to tell you something. People were
upset back then, and you know, look, it's not gotten any better now. And preach it, Don, man. You've let loose.
But I didn't even realize I had a soapbox.
You did, man. You had to let loose, man, and I'm glad you did. This is you know, the American people are screaming out, man. This is a very serious thing, and yet Doyle's telling you they're Tea Party terrorists, and then he says, well, they have no compunction about blowing up the economy to get what they want. Listen, Doyle, you dunderhead. This is something that you guys are participating in by spending, for instance, more than you're bringing in, of course, borrowing from China, printing by the Federal Reserve System. You're literally creating the explosion that is destroying the economy and weakening the very people you claim you want to help. How do you help people like that?
How much economy is left to even blow up at this point?
Yeah.
We need to put it back together. It's been blown up.
We blowed it up good. Doyle, you blowed it up good. Biden, you blowed it up good. Bush before you blowed it up good. Obama's blowed it up good, too. Now, what are we going to do?
I'm sorry if I sound frustrated, and I'll apologize. But
listen, Argentum Nitricum for you.
I look at this stuff every single day.
I know, Don.
I spent about 3 hours watching C-SPAN on Saturday.
Oh, my gosh.
And I wanted to break something. I
understand.
I wanted to get drunk on some organic beer or something. Yeah. It was absolutely insane watching these guys. All they do is they say, though you guys are bad, we're the guys that are trying to do the right thing. And the other guys say, no, you guys are bad, and we're trying to do the right thing. And at the end of the day, all it is both sides trying to make the other guy look bad, because all they're concerned about is getting reelected in 2012, and they don't want to have to be the ones that people would look at and say, you're the reason why the debt limit wasn't raised. You're the reason why gas prices are as high.
You're the reason why a gallon
of milk is $4. You know, it's just absolute politics.
Listen, out there listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show now, do you agree with Don? Are you frustrated like he is? Does Don have the solution? Is he on the right track? I want to hear from you. 866-939-BELL. This is an issue that's going to affect you, your kids, your grandkids. So I might expect that you would call and let us know what you think of it. Maybe we're off our rocker and saying that the Democrats are the evil ones here, as well as most of the Republicans who are participated in this. 866-939-2355. The show notes and links to all these stories in case you think we're making them up. We can't make this up. They're at robertscottbell.com, and if you have not already, put your email address in at naturalnewsradio.com. You'll get your daily email updates of the Robert Scott Bell Show, what's going on, links, where we're going. And by the way, we just got a couple of minutes. I'm real excited about this, Don. Did you know this? We got in studio coming up soon. A dear friend, he's actually in studio with me this week, maybe a couple of weeks now. We're working on a project together, and his name, Liam Sheff. We're gonna have some great times with Liam on the program this week, and I'm looking forward to having him on board here in studio with me. You know, this is the electromagnetic universe, man. We're gonna get kinetic on the world talking about things together.
Excellent. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a great great number of shows. Liam's a great guy. He's done some great work and is very knowledgeable. Knows a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and we find out more and more about his lineage and his family. It is shocking, horrifying, frightening, but it also places a real strong basis for the knowledge base that he has and bringing to us all. And we're going to do that. We're going to do a little bit more of the debt ceiling discussion. Oh, that must be Liam now telling me he's on his way. Cool.
Better answer the phone.
Well, we've got a little bit more on the debt ceiling, as I said, coming back from this break. Then we're going to go into some other stories, including Pink. Does Pink make you think you want to cure breast cancer? Does it work? Does it not? Also, more news and good news on fish oil supplements and pregnancy, and many other stories here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, including another one, a gastric bypass surgery, the cure for every ailment on planet Earth, according to the colorectal surgeons. Don, thanks for helping me kick it off here on the Robert Scott Bell Show today.
Yes, I'm now going to go meditate for a few minutes during the break.
Yes, calm down. We're coming right back. Everybody, have a good time on this break. Say thanks to our sponsors. You are listening to the United States and World of Health Talk Radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
I figured we'd also have to check in with the one who has fiscal sanity in Congress. That is the good doctor, Dr. Ron Paul, to kind of get perspective on what we're talking about here as we ramp up the economic healing here. As we realize that this debt deal is a fiasco in and of itself, it is no compromise in reality. I mean, basically, they get to spend more than ever. And they maybe cut some projections in their spending, or spending projections are cut. What is it? It's not a real cut. And of course, Dr. Ron Paul chimes in on his Congress blog through the Hill. When a cut is not a cut, not a cold cut, not a warm cut, it's not a cut at all. He starts, one might think that the recent drama over the debt ceiling involves one side wanting to increase or maintain spending with the other side wanting to drastically cut spending. But that is far from the truth. In spite of the rhetoric being thrown around, the real debate is over how much government spending will increase. That's how it goes here. There's no seriousness about these cuts. It just is not. It's not a serious game. Even the Tea Party, they say, oh, they're terrorists. They made us cut. You didn't cut. Spending is still going up. And in the course of this article I have linked up through the hill, you're going to be stunned by what's the way we could actually balance the budget next year. What? How many years back do you think we have to go to balance the budget based on the current income levels of the federal government? Right? We're in 2011 as this show airs. How many years back do we have to go? Just to go back to a certain year that now we match what's coming in. The revenue's coming into government. Anybody care to guess? I'll get to that in a moment. But this is akin to what has happened here, basically. A family that was saving $100,000 in expenses by deciding not to buy a Lamborghini, instead buying a fully loaded Mercedes, when really their budget dictates that they need to stick with a perfectly serviceable Honda. But in Washington terms, doesn't matter. We're going to get the Mercedes anyway. It's fully loaded. It's almost as much as the Lamborghini, and we're going to call that a cut. This is really a fiscal insanity, not sanity, what's going on. There's no compromise. No compromise. In fact, we're talking about cutting levels of spending in the future. The definition of cuts that would save $400 billion over the next few years. There's not a cut. It would take us 5 years to cut $1 trillion in Washington math just by holding the line on the spending. That's not austere. That's not catastrophic. This is not anything but a scam. Another scam perpetrated by Democrats and Republicans coming together to compromise in order to say, we did something, we saved you. There's not going to be a collapse, when the healthiest thing at this point would be a collapse of the federal government to allow the states to go back into their roles more primary in servicing the needs of the people of those states, as opposed to the primacy of a federal, huge, over-bloated, bureaucratic oligarchy, bureaucracy, that is basically suffocating the lifeblood out of the economy and many of the American people. Now, if we talk about balancing the budget, right now, according to Ron Paul here, and this is from, the Congressional Budget Office there, we're pulling in about $2.2 trillion a year. And you can't expect it to go up by much, can you, based on the recession? Outlays right now projected to be $3.7 trillion, big ones, and projected to grow every year, right? Government gets to grow. You don't necessarily get to grow your budget, but government gets to grow it on your back and the back of your kids. We only have to go back how many years? Oh, a whopping 7 years. Let's get the DeLorean time machine. Let's travel back all those years, hundreds of years. Wait, it's not 100 years, not even 10, it's not even a decade. Go back to 2004 and say, let's just cut the budget back to 2004 levels. Were people starving in the streets because the government wasn't big enough? Did people not get their Medicare, their Social Security, because the government wasn't big enough in 2004? No, we go back to 2004, 7 years, and it goes back to $2.2 trillion, which is what is being brought into the federal government now. And the government was not small. Simply go back to 2004. It's done. You've got a balanced budget. But we pay 35% more for our military today than we did 10 years ago for the exact same capabilities. The same could be said for the rest of government. Why, and this is the question that Ron Paul asked, why has our budget doubled in 10 years? Did the country double? Did we have double the population? Do we have 650 million people in America now or something? No, the country's population didn't double. Wait a minute, we doubled the land mass, right? We took Canada, that's right. We took over Canada. No, we didn't take over Canada. What doubled? What doubled that the federal government had to grow its budget by such an amount in 10 years? In Washington terms, as he concludes here, a simple freeze in spending would be much bigger than a cut, than any being discussed. If politicians simply cannot bear to implement actual cuts to actual spending, just freezing the budget would give the economy the best chance to catch its breath, recover, and grow. It's not that fancy. It's not that difficult. But according to dunderheaded Republicans and Democrats who believe in compromise of principles that they don't even have, and then they claim the Tea Party, the Tea Party patriots are terrorists because they don't want us to spend. When's the last time Osama bin Laden, when he was supposedly alive, put a gun to the American head and said, do not spend? Is that the new definition of a terrorist? Someone who basically says, go back to 2004 when government's budget was $2.2 trillion? That's what we're bringing in 2011 and projected for 2012. You think you can handle that? No, far too common sense of an approach amidst an insane group of I hesitate to call them Americans, but an insane group of corporatists, big government, loggerheads, dunderheads on the Republican and Democrats. I know it's bad. I'm resorting to name-calling here, right? What I don't know what else to do because the discussion down there is not any more intellectual when they can't conceive of these numbers and the fact that they can reduce them simply by a few years and come back to a balanced place. And that would be, well, I don't say we'd solve our problems altogether in that moment, but certainly the economy would get a chance, as he said, to catch its breath and to find out, hey, can we make stuff again? Can we service the planet? You know, maybe people want to buy stuff from us again, and we'd be doing a lot better than we are today. Joining me now to take us to that happy economic place, it's my good friend in studio. Yes, he arrived. Liam Sheff is here with me in studio on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Liam, welcome.
I'm here at Robert Scott Bell's Graceland Mansion.
Do you like my velvet Elvis?
I was enjoying riding the llamas. We played llama polo earlier in the day.
Oh my goodness! Well, I haven't seen them. They must be imaginary. But you and the kids are enjoying them too, I'm sure. But listen, economic happy place. I'm looking at these Yahoos again. I don't want to upset Yahoo. I don't know how their stock is doing, but in Washington D.C., compromising on the so-called debt ceiling. We predicted they would raise it, and of course, there would be business as usual. They would stave off the inevitable collapse of the fiat Federal Reserve note dollar by basically elevating the debt limit, allowing the Fed to print up more money or borrow it if China's willing to lend it to us. Or, I don't know, what else can they do? Just add more digits in the computers of the Federal Reserve banks and in Congress? I mean, this doesn't seem like a happy economic place to be.
Well, how dare you, Robert, say this doesn't make sense? Clearly, they want us to be able to borrow more money that they can then print, which is a return on money that will eventually be paid back once we, in the future, have the thing that we're going to have that makes the money so that we can pay back the debt that we've already accrued. It's clear as day. We just need to be able to print more so that we can have more. Don't you understand the economic model working here?
No, it's not. It's not giving me the economic happy place. I mean, you sounded much like probably what they do believe in Washington, that if we just keep spending more and more and more, we'll get out of this mess. And, of course, that's the mantra of John Maynard Keynes, and this is the Keynesian cult that exists in Washington, D.C. And, you know, if you have beyond Ron Paul now have adopted and understand this and the dangers of it, but, you know, if Liam, if I'm looking to help somebody that's poor and downtrodden and they're working, you know, they're not, you know, only on welfare, they're working. But every year or maybe even every month, that which they're working for, even if it's the same amount in a dollar denominated number, that amount is buying them less and less and less simply by the very behavior, both Democrats and Republicans, of printing and spending and borrowing more.
Yeah, it's rather terrifying, despite my support for it, tongue-in-cheek. It is rather terrifying that they think we can actually borrow our way into a more solvent country. I'd like to bring back Bill Clinton and put him on the stand. He of the Cecil Rhodes Scholarship, who convinced everybody, especially Wall Street, but even America, that sending all of the manufacturing jobs first to Mexico, then to Southeast Asia, was somehow going to be good for us. We've become a slave debtor nation to, well, nobody's really sure who or how. We only know that we need a new phone every 6 months, and if we don't have one, we're somehow doing terribly. We don't build here anymore. We're not allowed to put a garden in the front of our house because it's against the law.
Well, by the way, thanks to all the natural news readers and Robert Scott Bell Show listeners, they finally backed down on Julie Bass, but still, there are people out there that think it was atrocious that Julie, like, stood up to the man, the anti-veggie man in the neighborhood, who said, well, if you want a garden, put it in your backyard. No, I want every side of the yard filled with food that is being grown so that we can start taking care of our own families and our local communities.
Yeah, I think a lot of us agree, and I hope that the move that we talked about last year toward this idea of whatever you want to call it, a liberty garden, call it a victory garden, call it a sustenance garden, call it the happiest place on earth, because everybody feels good when you get out there and you get your fingers in the dirt and the little worms come up and you're happy and they're happy, and then you have vegetables and your kids go, wow, look, that came from the earth. Wow, my feet are touching the ground. I don't need the new iPhone. I don't need the new app this second. I love, look at these beets. They actually grow. It's a kind of magic. this is the kind of thing that I hope that we as a country can get excited about. I know it sounds small, but it's a big wish, because to get people away from the McDonald's and iPod culture is a really hard thing to do. Those things are rather addictive. And I hope we can. I don't know what else to say except I really hope we can.
Well, I'm with you. I mean, the addiction to cheap and easy money, so to speak, is also something that is devastating to the very kids we're looking at. And I have two of them. And, I'd like to see them grow up in a place of abundance. And I don't mean an abundance of paper money that may not be worth the whatever the cost of the printing is. And that's what we're seeing happen here. I remember reading to my son when he was just almost he was not a baby, but he started to understand things about money. I read him the book Whatever Happened to Penny Candy by Richard Mayberry. I mean, literally going back to the basis of, the history of money on planet Earth. I mean, can we at least not teach people that it – counterfeiting and clipping coins is a basically a horrible, horrendous crime?
We were talking about this earlier. I was actually asking you philosophically what we were talking about. What is money? What is money? So, people carried around gold and silver. They left them at the bankers. The banker said, "Well, that's too heavy. Take this slip." And we started trading promissory notes, essentially. And then we said, "Well, I can lend you a lot of money because I have all the stuff, and well, it'll eventually pay back." And so everybody's now has a promissory note that is diluted 100, 1,000, 10,000 times. I think that it's good to be able to trade currency for a service or a good, because otherwise you're beholden to the guy with the biggest club or the most powerful to take something from you.
Well, the warehouse receipts concept is something that I could see happening again when you have basically non-counterfeiting capabilities of these audited, if you will, warehouses, whether they be private, whether they be government. Of course, we've shown how the government is they're a bunch of lying thieves, and they can't be trusted. And that's what happened with the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. And when that came into being, they started counterfeiting already, and they had to basically withdraw all the gold from circulation. They said, "Everybody turn in their gold," and they said it was for the war. Turned out that they had more debt obligations to pay back foreigners who were demanding their gold because they knew what was happening, and that led in large part to the crash of, the 1930s recession depression. And that led eventually to Nixon in 1971 pulling us or shutting down the gold window, saying there is no convertibility. Initially, according to the Coinage Act of 1792, 1 ounce of silver basically was $20. Hmm. And they then, revaluated and said it was 35 at a certain point. This was a Bretton Woods agreement. It gets into high-level economic nonsense that was basically behind the scenes that, they wanted us all to be too bored and our parents to be too bored to pay attention to it. And it turned out they were still printing more than they could redeem. So eventually Nixon said, "Screw you all. We're pulling off. You can't redeem your thing. We're going to let gold float against the dollar," which wasn't a dollar anymore because they never changed the definition. And Ron Paul's still asking, "Hey, any of you bozos at the Fed know what a dollar is?" They can't define it. There's no definition. So in that context, now we're looking at economic Armageddon, or so they claim. But I think the Armageddon would be a good thing in the sense that there would be a reset and people would now begin to have to interact locally, like we're talking about here, instead of looking at the next thing coming from Japan, China, Asia, wherever, to fulfill our addiction. And we're going to be forced to do that which our ancestors did. I don't know that we're necessarily going to live without air conditioning, Liam, but certainly there are going to be a lot of things that will shift as the money will not be accepted around the world the way it is today.
I look forward to, I fear the worst happening. Of course, I want us to wake up and do better. There are so many things that we can do. We can actually generate energy and electricity in neighborhoods. Now, the government doesn't tell you this, and they tell you that they have to do a study on solar and wind, and they tell you have to get permission from everybody to do it, but we can actually have electrical power by building solar, wind, and other local generation means. It's called micropower. The economists call it micropower. It's not really small, but it's not a centralized grid, and it's run locally. So imagine having a world in which you don't need the federal government to tell you that you can have electricity. Where do we go from there? We have local growing environments, and we can actually grow things seasonally again.
Yes.
And we can learn to value our local geographical regions the way we used to. I mean, it used to be special to get stuff from Florida in New York in the middle of winter. It was a rare thing.
It was a big deal, yeah. Now it's become so commonplace to get it from South America, from Asia, from Europe, wherever. And you know, maybe that hasn't been the best thing. Certainly not for the utilization of energy on the planet, the wastefulness of it. And I think the collapse is happening because it's an organic, natural phenomenon. Because we have been an artificial, let's say, economy, an artificial culture, if you will. Listen, we got to take a break. I've got Liam Sheff in studio. We've got special projects going on all week, maybe a couple of weeks, in fact. So we're going to hear a lot from Liam, and I am thrilled to do that because we've got a lot in this electromagnetic universe to cover, including the pink ribbons. Are they helping anybody with breast cancer? We'll find out about that and more next on The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
From economic healing to endocrine healing to breast cancer, how do we make this leap? Well, we have to, in fact, because there's a big story on about the pink ribbons. You know, I've always been annoyed by these pink ribbons. Oh, if you're not wearing a pink ribbon, you don't care about women. You don't care about breast cancer. Well, there's a study out now, Liam, that says pink ads prove counterproductive for breast cancer awareness. What is it about? Is it about the color pink or the ads or the ribbons? What's going on? What do you think is wrong with these pink ribbons and breast cancer?
Most people are haters. Most people just hate when pharmaceutical companies try to do good things and raise money by taking some of the money from your Doritos or your Snapple and putting it back into their products. Most people are just heinous haters, Robert.
Well, let's look at those people, because those people actually are lovers. They actually want to protect women because they know that much of the pharmaceutical interventions associated with preventing or treating breast cancer can actually cause rarer forms of breast cancer and even endometrial cancer in the uterus. So, you know, again, black is white, red is blue, as we know, Orwellian words and definitions now in terms of the so-called war on cancer. They just make stuff up.
Yeah, it's through the looking glass. I never know what to do when I see like a purple ribbon, a red ribbon for now, women's heart awareness. I don't know what it means to be aware that people get diseases and how that awareness is fighting the disease. It's not as though it were a lack of, gosh, I haven't told myself not to get breast cancer today. Somebody's going to get breast cancer because I wasn't aware enough about it. I remember when I became a vegetarian, I actually became macrobiotic and studied this. And I was studying the literature. I took it upon myself to do a good study. And I was looking at Asian countries and Japan, some of these long-term studies that had been done in the 50s, 60s, 70s, through the 80s, about diet and cancer. And the most striking figure that you can that people were citing, and you could find this in John Robbins' famous tome, Diet for New America, was that Asian countries where they didn't consume large animal hormones didn't have these soft tissue cancers, breast cancers and other sexual organ cancers. And I thought, well, that kind of makes sense. Then I studied macrobiotics, which says that the energy of the food that you eat relates to the energy of your body. You know, the milk, the RBGH, recombinant bovine growth hormone, relates to what? Increasing the size of mammary glands, right? How much stress can you put on the hormone system and not expect to have some problems? So we see massive skyrocketing cases of breast cancer here. The drug companies tie a pink ribbon around the throats of all women saying, feel bad because we've tortured you.
Oh, yeah.
We've cut you into pieces. And now wear a ribbon to tell everybody what? You survived it? Give us more money.
Yeah, give us more money. And, you know, they're trying to assess why this has not been good. You know, this whole pink ads, why it's counterproductive here in this story. And it's coming out through Yahoo News. Time Magazine published this. And Puntoni, this guy from the Harvard Business Review, theorized that when a woman perceives that a cancer advertisement is aimed directly at her by the use of gender-specific colors, then there is a higher likelihood she will unconsciously go into a state of denial. What is that? You see pink and now the woman's going to, like you said, I just think the whole concept is bizarre because we know, just like you said, if you subsist on, let's say, meat products, particularly with the way that they grow these animals, the stress hormones in them, the endocrine-disrupting additions of estrogenic pesticides, as well as the RBGH and other things, that we are going to have aberrant endocrine function in women. They talk about the tamoxifen, which is, you know, messes with endocrine receptor sites, estrogen as such. A friend of mine, he wrote the Over-the-Counter Natural Cure, Shane Ellison, he was actually part of the group that worked on that drug, tamoxifen. That's why he left the pharmaceutical industry, when he saw that the drug was actually causing the very cancers they were trying to prevent.
I didn't know that. He actually worked on that?
Yeah. I mean, he was a pharmaceutical insider, a research chemist, and he said, this is insane. And to his credit, he left and said, I can't participate in this. He's become very outspoken on this since then.
That's wonderful. I'm glad they let him walk away.
Yeah.
These are big, bad companies. Yeah, they put the smiley face, the pink ribbon, the yellow ribbon. You know, Lance Armstrong, who cured himself, I suppose, of what, did he have testicular cancer?
Right.
Also, is a marathon bike rider, the idea that it was the drug that did it alone is capitalized upon people who now wear this yellow thing and think they're wearing a yellow thing, that they're a marathon bike rider, triathlete, you know, a Tour de France winner many times over. They're not.
Yeah.
He went out there, he had this indomitable spirit. He fought. That's good for the body. I'll take the drug companies seriously when they actually review cancer studies with substances naturally occurring, which do what? Prevent cancer, kill cancers. I know one. It's called ascorbic acid. You can look up the studies on the clinical trials data or clinical studies data. PubMed is what I'm trying to say. You can look up the studies on PubMed. They're having to admit that high dose intravenous vitamin C has what they call apoptotic effects on tumors. In other words, goodbye, kill you.
They call it apoptosis, which is a fancy way of saying a cancer, you know, cell will self-destruct. And normally cancer cells don't turn themselves off. They don't die. That's a problem, obviously, in the body when these aberrant cells just go, you know, let loose. Now, another thing, in addition to ascorbic acid, which we've seen in studies in PubMed published, the use of selenium, the use of iodine, because the tissue, breast tissue, very sensitive to iodine. And we're not talking about iodized salt. We're talking about real forms of vegetal iodine from sea vegetation, seaweed as well. And these are things that are much more critically important and genuinely doing what we would like to see done, Liam, not what the drug industry would like to see, more toxic medicines being patented, of course, and then sold at great profit, much to the detriment of not only women but men, which is, you know, breast cancer in men is much more rare but much more deadly as well.
It's fascinating. You're taking me back. You know, my macrobiotic studies, shiitake mushrooms, seaweed and miso, I think all had anti-tumor, anti-cancer properties, and these were all used. This was the lore when I was studying my macrobiotic studies, that in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, people were fed the traditional diet, and it helped some of them get better. The miso, the naturally fermented aged salt, rice, and soy, not GMO soy,
yes.
Didn't exist as a concept then. And the fermentation, the naturally occurring bacteria that exist for millennia, this is an ancient process, plus what? Plus these shiitake mushrooms, sort of a magical food that we don't really use in American cooking, dried shiitake mushrooms, ginger, all these other things that have existed, turmeric. You can go down a list. I'll take drug companies seriously when they say we're really concerned about cancer, not about your awareness. We don't need to manufacture awareness based on wrapping you up in pink. We actually want you to be okay, and we don't need to make a killing off of it. So it's okay with us if you do high-dose intravenous vitamin C plus selenium plus glutathione plus N-acetylcysteine plus green tea extract. Hey, guess what? This stuff works.
Yeah, and it works very well. And if we talk about homeopathy, I've talked for a long time now, and with the Advanced Medicine Mondays, we also do the Healing Revolution on Friday with Dr. Frank King. We're also talking more with Dr. Teresa Dale. I utilize homeopathic, what they call sarcodes, if you will. You actually take the tissue, it could be cancerous tissue as well, from an area and utilize its energy via serial dilution and succussion. You convert it into a homeopathic medicine. It's fascinating how it also sensitizes the immune system to react or act appropriately against these cells to shore up the immune system in conjunction with these other things, even a simple food. I mean, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. That's not just a saying. That's reality. And the drugs are the things that are actually causing or creating, if you will, more diseases. I mean, one of the things that we have to know about the cancer industry, if you don't already, is that more people not only make a living off of cancer than die from it, but those who die from cancer are not really dying from cancer. More often than not, they're dying from the treatment of cancer and the radiation that they're saying, the radical mastectomies, the chemotherapy, the removing of lymph nodes. I mean, they're literally butchering by many mechanisms, many women and occasionally men who do not need any of those treatments in order to regain their health and integrity. Now, I would defend anybody's freedom to choose those things, however horrific and barbaric I believe they are. But the reality is they've been sold into such a monopolistic reality that people often don't know that they have an option, and that is a crime.
Yeah, the AMA, the NIH, the FDA have committed many, many crimes against people under the guise of protecting us from quacks. Someday we'll look back, we'll call this, you know, the cancer, the giant cancer industry, the age of chemotherapeutic butchery. We'll call this the age of PCR, where epidemics were invented through highly sensitive but totally nonspecific laboratory monkeying around. You know, they give these 20-something-year-olds trying to get their master's at some university, Tufts or Harvard, these easy bake oven sets, and they get stuff from the pharmaceutical company. I'm serious. That you can watch. You go to YouTube and write how to run a PCR. You'll see these young kids and their bright shiny faces, and they get the stuff prepackaged from Glaxo. They squirt it into a container. They run it through the easy bake oven. They come out and they tell the world that they have a bird flu or an HIV.
Incredible,
thing.
Isn't it?
That's the world we now live in. So we have to raise awareness about the fact that they're raising awareness is actually kind of a mind control operation.
You're right. It's a psyop, a psychological op. Listen, we're going to do some higher up op, consciousness op. when we come back. Liam Sheff is my guest. He's in studio. We're going to have a lot of fun in the coming week or so together. And we've got a lot more healing to do. Political, economic, physiological, emotional, mental, spiritual. Yeah, it's all fair game here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Stand by. We're coming right back. In the meantime, 866-939-2355. If you want to chime in on anything, we'll be right back.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Hey, Don, you there? I think I'm hungry. In fact, I'm so hungry, I think I'm going to go for a... Do you have any gastric bypass over there, Don?
Well, let me see if I've got any left here. I don't know.
Let's do some drive-through. Can you put a band, do some banding on? Listen, I know we make light of a serious subject here because the morbidly obese is not something we laugh about. But the thought form here that gastric bypass is a cure for everything, now they're saying it makes a healthier appetite. If we can just bypass your stomach, you're going to have a healthier appetite, Don. Anti-obesity.
Yeah, where's the logic of this, right? You know, I mean, how many times have we talked about this obesity surgery, whether it's gastric bypass or the lap band? They keep coming out with these stories about how it cures this and it helps with your diabetes and it makes, you know, it fluffy bunnies and puppies running in the snow. I mean, it's just everything is great about obesity surgery.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to get in there with a knife and just start cutting in order to solve the problem when really the problem has nothing to do with shrinking the size of your stomach. And now, yeah, now it's supposed to give you a healthier appetite. Where do they come up with this stuff?
Well, obviously, this is propaganda to basically get more of these surgeries supported. It's the most common form of what they call bariatric or anti-obesity surgery, and they call it Roux-en-Y or Roux-en-Y. I'm thinking the name's classic. It's sort of a French play.
Yeah.
Let's Roux-en-Y. Let's Roux-en-Y. And, of course, we have Liam Sheff, a special guest in studio here. Don, I get Liam in the house.
Yes, he is.
And he knows some French. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. Roux-en-Y.
Je ne sais pas.
Je ne sais pas. All right. Excellent. Excellent.
Oui, oui. Okay. That's well, all I know in French.
Well, that's good enough for me. Anyway, we're talking about the gastric bypass surgery because we've talked about the lap banding, you know, if we wanted to get rubber bands put on our stomach. And never do they talk about, you know, massive detoxification that's really needed in the morbidly obese, that they're actually quite deficient in nutrients. This is why they have these abnormal cravings. Some of it is addiction that's related to emotional trauma and pain. I recognize that. But if we talk purely physiological, the lack thereof of certain key nutrients that causes this, you know, insatiated hunger, hypoglycemia into the diabetic realm. And so we look at those things, but nowhere in the surgical realm do they care about these nutrients that are missing because, well, they wouldn't be cutting on you if they could just replace nutrients.
Well, and if you cut down the amount of food that somebody's supposed to eat, what kind of an effect does that have on someone when, I mean, you know, we're supposed to eat a certain amount of food. You know, we're designed to eat a certain amount of food, a certain type of food. And so if you're cutting down the size of the stomach, yet they're not eating the right food, what is it they've really accomplished? Is it all about calories? Because it seems like that's what they're making this is about, is about the amount of food that you eat, not the quality of the food.
Well, we were just talking about the endocrine system. Liam, remember, you know, we were talking about the breast cancer issue, and they're referencing some endocrine, again, hormonal issues here. They say that after gastric bypass operations in both humans and rats, the guinea pigs, the rats, the humans, certain hormones are elevated. They call these the glucagon-like peptide 1, GLP-1, and peptide YY, or what's it called, PYY. And they're higher. Now, here we come again. If we just understood the role of GTF chromium in the ability to transfer, if you will, out of the fats back into the bloodstream, the sugars necessary for basic function. And in these morbidly obese people, they seemingly lack the ability to convert the fat back into utilizable energy, Liam.
Let me throw the old macrobiotic perspective
sure,
in.
Sure, yeah.
If you allowed these people not to have an abdomen opening and a rubber band put around their stomach in order to get better. You took them off the soda, whether diet or non-diet soda, which is salt and sugar by the shovelful, which converts immediately into fat, bypassing normal digestion. You can't store it as glycogen in liver, so all this sugar is just converted into dripping fat.
Right.
You get rid of that. You can let people eat as much, I swear, brown rice, lentils, collard greens, carrots, as they want. They can only eat so many. That cleans their blood, it cleans their intestines, it starts to clean their liver, that resets their diet, then they want to have better things, and they like, you know what your body really likes deep down? Your mouth learns to like. It's the strangest thing.
It is. But of course...
You know, Robert, I wanted to point something out. In
sure.
This here. Did you happen to see when they did the study on this? Apparently they were trying to see, and maybe I'm misunderstanding this, they were trying the placebo effect on rats. In the study, they carried out either gastric bypass or a sham operation on 26 rats.
They're trying to make the rats believe they had the surgery?
I don't. Why would they do a sham operation on the rat? Would the rat think I just had gastric bypass surgery and so now it's going to work?
Well,
does that make any sense to you?
Only in Douglas Adams' universe where the rats have created Earth 1 and Earth 2. Oh, man. Liam.
That's the thing that stood out to me.
I need a sham operation
on a rat.
I need some clinical trials money.
Yeah, let's throw some money. We can conduct a little more efficiently, and we don't need the rats. Anyway, I appreciate you guys. Great kicking off the hour today on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Liam Schaap, my friend, he's in town for a couple of weeks, hopefully, here. We've got a lot of projects to do outside the show, but you're going to be hearing a lot from this man, and he's a wonderful, great mind, and we're going to hear some very interesting history, too, in relation to a lot of what's gone on in the 20th and here in the 21st century related to medical science, I hesitate to use, but he'll clear that up for us as well. We've got a lot more healing to do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Remember, Liam Schaap is at liamschaap.com. I have links up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. I remind you once again also to put in your email address at naturalnewsradio.com. And also say thanks to the Prepper Podcast Network. In addition to Natural News Radio, streaming the Robert Scott Bell Show. Lots of cool things. We're growing here all over the World Wide Web and get good healing information where it belongs, back with you. And we're going to be coming back with stories. There's actually some interesting controversies about insurance and birth control. Also, superbugs. Are they ever going to go away? And a few other stories that are surprising, some horrific, but you need to hear about them right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show after this break. I just remind you in the meantime, along with Liam and my good super producer, Don, the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
I don't know if we should wade into this topic here as we crank up the second hour of the Robert Scott Bell Show today, but I feel we must, and we must tackle controversies here. And big one related, you know, we talk about Obamacare. They like to claim it's insurance because people can't afford insurance. Well, what is insurance supposed to be? If you go back to the origin points of insurance, you find it referenced under what they call admiralty law, the law of the seas, when people pooled their resources together and shielded themselves against catastrophic loss should the ship befall something disastrous like a hurricane and it sank and everybody lost something. That way, through this insurance pooling concept, people would lose some but not 100% of, you know, what they put at risk by putting it on the ship, for instance. Now we have the wrongheaded notion of insurance as, well, it covers everything. It's not preventing or let's say planning for those catastrophic, unexpected events. Now it's supposed to cover every hangnail, every scrape, every cough, and even more than that. This is really bizarre. I mean, you know that men, basically, their recreational sexual activities are covered by government insurance plans. Liam, have you heard about this?
Viagra.
That's right. The Viagra. This is like, you know, because this is the argument against, well, I guess for something that's somewhat controversial we're going to cover right now. This idea that birth control needs to be covered by health insurance. Birth control. And this is what they say, Don. They say, hey, well, I mean, if you men can get Viagra and that's covered by insurance, well, we should be able to get our birth control pills. You know, I would say neither are a valid way of insurance should be working. But what are the reasons? Because I think there's something very sinister going on here behind the scenes as to why the government or somebody behind it wants to insist that insurance should cover birth control. Liam Sheff is back this hour in studio here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, rocking it. He doesn't have an opinion on this at all.
This is an old, old controversy. This is old as a word called eugenics. The government,
yes.
Government science used to be in favor of telling everybody in the country who could, ready, breed, procreate, and who couldn't. There was a Supreme Court case in which the distinguished and honorable Oliver Wendell Holmes decided to vote against one girl's right, Carrie Buck, to be able to have children. She was forcibly, I believe, sterilized. If the government can forcibly sterilize us because we're not fit,
All right. Well, that's not exactly what this is saying. It's saying we don't have a right to choose a provider who gives us birth control if we want. It says you
have to.
Not only do the insurance companies have to make sure that you have this compound which alters your body and doesn't let you get pregnant if you want to, but you have to have the insurance or you're committing a crime.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's fascinating to me,
this
Liam.
It sounds like commie China to me.
Well,
I mean, isn't this very similar to what they're doing in China where they're saying you have a one-child policy?
Well, one-child limit. It's not as overt as that, but certainly it raises questions. And Liam goes back to history, and rightfully so, up to Supreme Court decisions, etc., in regards to the limiting aspect of procreation, that we do certain undesirables should not be allowed to breed. And if you think that's horrible to say, understand that this kind of thought form exists today among the elitist on planet Earth, particularly those behind government, population reduction. I often wonder now, as we cover a story like this, could the Gates Foundation also be behind this mandating of birth control pill coverage? I mean, we're absolutely messing with the endocrine system. Does this seem like a common theme today? Last hour we talked about it with tamoxifen and breast cancer. Now they're wanting to alter the physiology, the endocrine hormonal physiology, if you will, function within women with these birth control pills. For what purpose? Is population reduction on the minds of those behind this? What do you think?
Let me be libertarian and fair and say I will never tell anybody that they could not terminate or that they must have a child if they don't want to. I don't feel that that's in my purview. I feel that that's the decision that belongs to the woman in a relationship with the guy that she's with. I don't know where Washington, D.C., I don't know where they play a role in this. Who are they worried about? They've traditionally been worried about the poor, the indigent poor.
Right.
They used to use scientific terms like morons and feeble-minded. If you think I'm joking, go read the eugenics literature publicly available. They just said, you can't breed. Now, look, you may have relatives that you hate. you may know people that you don't. You'd say, I wish you hadn't. But if you really were pushed, you'd say, no, it's fine. You live here. The world's an imperfect place. There are people who don't grant whole groups of people. Who are they targeting? They're targeting Mexican immigrants. They're targeting African Americans in this country. You know, come on. You have to have insurance. Mm. If you're too poor, we'll give you the insurance. Then you get the birth control. Restrict yourself in breeding. You know, breeding. You know, that's
use the term, right?
Breeding.
Isn't that a great term? Breeding.
Yeah.
I mean, that's wow.
Well, and this is the Obama administration, honestly, I mean, pushing for this. And that's what's, you know, so horrific. Those that think that I hesitate to use the Democrat-Republican Hegelian dialectic because in so many ways they're really not different, but certain rhetoric they are. The illusion is the Democrats want to help the poor people, the downtrodden, the inner city. And here they're mandating, if you will, coverage so that we can give access to the poorest among us in many cases to ways to, you know, let's stop these people from having children. And of course, there, you know, when we talk about the gift of life, I mean, we tend to think in terms, at least I did, you know, am I ready to have children? Can I afford to have children? Not everybody thinks in those terms, but I recognize that the coverage for something like this, procreative activities, and to force people to mess with their hormones and potentially create cancer. I mean, these are also other things that these birth control pills do. They increase the risk of cancer, especially if you also smoke. You know, the combination of birth control and smoking is devastating for women. The increased risk of cancer goes up extraordinarily.
Let me be even more fair to the people who forward this sort of thing. Let's take on their ideology for a moment. They say, well, these people living in these unfortunate situations, they live like animals. They don't have access. They always use the word access, right?
Right.
Let's give them access. Well, access is one thing, right? If you would like birth control pills, believe me, they're available at every Planned Parenthood, and there are more Planned Parenthoods in...
A lot of times they'll give them away for free there, won't they?
Of course. If you don't have insurance and you're poor and you come in and you ask, you can have birth control. You know,
process is ask.
Ask, right.
Yeah, that's it.
So the government says, oh, these poor unfortunates, they're not aware that they can ask. So let's force it on them and give it to all the 12-year-olds in the projects. it's not saying that we don't have poverty problems in this country, but some people said the way out of the poverty problem is to stop poor people from existing.
Well, and this is the horrific truth in history. And if people are still under the or are under the impression that this is not going on today, that there are not eugenicists, that there are not people that are looking at you racially and saying, we don't want you to breed. I mean, this is horrific to have to cover this, but I think it needs to be said. And in a context of a government program that is forcing this kind of coverage. Yet here, this is interesting too. This brings in the religious aspects of it because, you know, you have the social and religious conservatives that are, you know, aghast that this would be happening with government money. They say, no, you can't do that. The rules issued Monday by Sebelius, so Kathleen Sebelius, we know from the Health and Human Services, includes a provision that would allow religious institutions to opt out of offering birth control coverage. Again, here we go. We're going to force everybody. Oh, if you're a religious institution, okay, you don't have to participate. But I mean, this idea that you can mandate what was formerly private institutions, these so-called insurance schemes, to provide, you know, mandated coverage of things that are you know, maybe reprehensible to you for any number of reasons. And I look also at the insurance coverage for all kinds of things. Like, you know, if I wanted to get insurance, I probably couldn't because it would mandate, you know, pharmaceutical drugs, which I don't want to take. If I have to take something like that because it's an end of the life scenario, I'll find a way to pay for it. But I don't want to participate and pay all that money out, realizing I'm not going to use part of that service. But they mandate this for everybody, and then everybody's costs go up, and then less people are going to want to buy it. And then henceforth, we get the demand for Obamacare because nobody can afford it. And so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The government knows it, and they're going to take over that part of the so-called private sector by first mandating these things that they know will not be able to be paid for, and then the people will demand government to come in and intercede. It's this is how the game is played.
Yeah, this isn't the late 1800s or early 1900s where a woman had, you know, we could have 14 children and die at age 45 because there were no options except dangerous, you know, broken glass, rusty needle, back alley abortions. I'm certainly in favor of letting people make choices, but why is the government involved in my health? I don't understand. I'm confused. Why do they care how I choose personally to live? And if I'm married to somebody and she wants to have four kids, why do I want the government saying you not only have to have an insurance which will definitely cover your chemotherapy as long as you inject all your children with vaccines which cause cancer, and we'll cover that. We'll cut them up for you too. Thanks.
I tell you, it's fraught with danger and controversy even talking about it. I acknowledge that. And we're not here to solve the debates that are going to go on about it. But I think I wanted to raise the awareness when I saw this story, Don, and I appreciate you pointing it out to me, that it's another absurd notion. And Liam just brought it up again, bringing it right back home, that we accept that the government has any say-so whatsoever in our health and health care is already an admission that we are less than fully human, if you will, or sovereign. You know, we become the beast, if you will, the rat, the animal that can be manipulated chemically. Just like they wanted to, you know, as you said in history, where they said the undesirable should be made unable to reproduce.
Yeah, yeah. The breeding question again. I mean, this comes out of England. Reverend Thomas Malthus wrote in his treatise on the populations of the world and their, I don't know, overgrowth in certain areas, challenging or threatening the amount of food that the wealthy would have or the middle class would have. In other words, it was the fault of poor, sexually redolent Africans that English people would eventually, you know, would quickly run out of food. Well, it didn't happen. You know, other things got in the way of that happening, like reality. So he didn't have to worry about the Africans eating all the food. But that was really the fear. And we've considered that to be racist and passé, but we live in that. And if you look, this is all historical and it's real. If you look up the UN Population Fund, it's a group that still exists. And you can make intellectual arguments that we should be concerned about world population. But shouldn't we be concerned a little about world infrastructure? Shouldn't there be a world infrastructure fund, like a world clean water fund that's as well funded? Shouldn't, you know, if we have Planned Parenthood in all these neighborhoods, shouldn't we have nutritious food and education so people can go to school and learn and maybe better themselves and have a life that's not fraught with all the horrors of the inner city? And there are many horrors of the inner city. We don't have to kill people to get them away from the horror.
Yeah, exactly. And so if we look to restore the things we talk about here, nutrition, hygiene, sanitation, you know, all of these so-called diseases that they say, well, it's because of overpopulation. Well, it's because of people living, yes, in close quarters without adequate access to hygiene, sanitation, nutrition, etc. And you brought up the example earlier of the woman that would have four or five kids and then die at 45. Of course, that was the issue of inadequate nutrition because they were so depleted of the minerals that they had nothing left. I mean, they literally gave it all to their children. And we, you know, we're much more aware of the ways we can stay healthy and women can stay healthy with, you know, if you should desire a number of kids, if you're able to take care of them.
Well, no, there was a time when women in this country could really be made to have, essentially, marriage could be so constrictive, mm-hmm. 15 children and die. You know, sure. I don't think nutrition really can, you know, the body.
Well, you're going to have to do some super nutrition at that point. You're having 15 kids. But Lord, I can barely keep up with two. So, you know,
it really did happen. And so, forgive me, I have a sympathy for women to be able to choose the number of children and if and when, if possible. There's no perfect time. You know, you're with somebody, all of life is fraught with peril. But the population planners went beyond, I don't know, sanity and humanity, and they really decided to eviscerate people. Tens of thousands, 60, 70,000 sterilizations occurred in this country, hundreds of thousands in Europe. The Third Reich, what we consider the horror of the Holocaust, began as a eugenics project. It really emerged. I mean, Hitler openly admired the work done at Cold Spring Harbor, New York. A lot of people have said the Nazis didn't lose the war, they just had to move. Well, you know, the eugenicists were it was a worldwide phenomenon. That kind of science still lives in the underpinnings, I think, of the AIDS industry, of these massive bird flu pandemic industries. We're just constantly freaking out and trying to reduce numbers or manage them. And AIDS is the prime example of trying to manage the sex lives of an entire continent when sex isn't the issue. Yeah. Poverty, poverty, poverty.
Exactly. Well, Liam Sheff is my guest in studio here, Super Don at the helm. And we've got a lot more healing to do. In fact, their story is about superbugs still growing, maybe never leaving us, which we'll cover as well. If you'd like to be part of the show at any point in time, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, robertscottbell.com, Liam Sheff. I've got the links to him as well at the blog today. And we've got lots more healing to do. Some superbug news coming up after the break.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
What is the reality behind all of this? These attempts to ensure birth control, everything else, and it's getting pretty serious here on the Robert Scott Bell Show today. And it's okay. We bounce from some lighthearted topics to covering some news stories in ways you'll never hear it in the old, tired, pharmaceutically conflicted media out there. That's why you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show every day right here on Natural News Radio. And that's also why I have my dear friend Liam Sheff in studio with me. Very special bonus today. And we'll be hanging out and doing a lot more segments in the coming couple of weeks because we got a lot of work to do behind the scenes as well. Liam, in addition, as we wrap up, we're going to be talking about some serious superbugs that may never be leaving, but on the issue of the history, I mean, you seem to have a lot more knowledge about so many things, historically speaking. Not only we get into the science of these things, which I love to do, but you have actually some, I don't know if I hesitate to call them blood ties to the blood money. I mean, there are people involved in your family that go back to some of these discussions that we're talking about here.
Yeah, I do. I didn't know that I did. I got into this naive to sort of my own family history. I broke the story of orphans in New York being used in AIDS drug trials where they were really being cut apart and murdered. And I was called upon by my own conscience or spirit or will to understand this larger picture. And I kept diving down and people would say, you got to look into this, you got to look into that. And then somebody said, Kitiawatu, actually, he does a radio show, LIB Radio, said, you got to look into eugenics. So I looked into this history called eugenics and I went, holy mother of God. And this thing would come up in Cold Spring Harbor. Well, where did my grandfather work? What business did he work in? He worked in cancer retrovirology, which was the beginning of the AIDS stuff. It was, the sort of the heavy chemotherapeutic era. But where did my great-grandfather, what did he do? He studied the effects of poison gases. He's a pioneer in chemotherapy. I didn't know that until, I don't know, within the last couple months I'm learning about my great-grandfather.
Wow.
He was on, I didn't know this, he was on Margaret Sanger's medical advisory board.
The same woman we were just talking about related to the whole idea of birth control and everything else?
Yeah, I didn't know it. And look, I'm not pro, what is it called, pro-life, I'm not pro-choice. I guess I'm mildly pro-choice, but not as a national issue. I just really believe in individual liberty regarding medical issues, and that goes to family planning. I believe in family planning. If you want to have three kids, try to have three. If you really want to have eight kids, try to have eight. If you're not allowed to make any choices about it, you're going to feel like a slave in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, make choices, but I didn't know. I'm still doing the research. I'm not going to say the names on right now today, but this was hidden from me when I was growing
up.
Wow.
You know, thinking about all that you're doing, Liam, and we're going to be revealing a lot more about this in the coming days or weeks, the horrific aspect of some of these scientists, you know, and you've talked about this in terms of what it really is, but have really shut down to genuine science and have put forth a horrific, absolutely horrific pharmaceutical agenda that can only be described by some of the words we're using, including genocidal in its intent or its in its result. And we're finding out, as you are, that you have a history, not personally of this, but within your family. And it's an amazing thing, all the things you are doing in your life to reveal these things, to wake people up to these things, and to show the absurd, the dangerous absurdities within that scientific cult.
It's probably more shocking to me than it will be to other people, but to have grown up and been sort of the black sheep in this family and never really understood why, and then to become I just didn't relate to their consciousness. The stuff they would talk, I would listen to it. I would listen to them battle over the medical literature and beat each other up with the citations and how, I told you this before, the most important thing I learned growing up was that ego rules the roost in academia and facts change. That's not true anymore was something that, you know, that was true. Oh, you're still believing that's true? Well, that was yesterday's study, so that's not true anymore. What is it about? It's about getting the attention of the paterfamilias, whether it was my grandfather or trying to rise to the level of my great-grandfather who, you know, was a big time dude. We'll get into it another time, but sure. I'm just discovering it's very strange because I've been fighting this battle like for 10 years. And you have to believe in karma or dharma or something.
Sure. Cause and effect. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. You know, these are the things that are very real in my life. I try to understand this. And as a young person, I always wanted to understand. You know, we always ask the nature of why does evil happen to good people, right? And, you know, it's one of those fundamental questions I look at. And, you know, there are sometimes where I'll get into those philosophical discussions or spiritual discussions here on the show. But suffice it to say, again, I'm amazed by what you have brought out already in your young life, Liam, and what's more to come, and even more so shocking and more amazing. And it explains a lot to me when we are finding out about the lineage within your family, about the things that have happened in the 20th century medicine working into the 21st century as well. So we want to cover that in addition soon. But right now, I want to transition to the issue of multi-drug-resistant strains of bacteria. Because here we go to another 20th century marvel, the wonder drugs. They started as the sulfa drugs, right? And then moved into the penicillins, the antibiotics. Now, initially, they were thought to be the saving grace because we would finally eradicate infectious disease. I mean, finally, we'd get past this. This is the thing that's killed humans and throughout history, throughout the ages. And yet, modern man, in his chemotherapeutic context, this idea, because of the adoption of the germ theory and Louis Pasteur's idea before he recanted at the time of his death, now we were looking at, hey, we've got synthetic chemicals, chemo warfare agents that we can use, and we will be healthy forever. We will not have any consequences to this, and we'll all be good. But it turns out the creation of these so-called superbugs, strains that are resistant, that will eat these drugs for lunch, maybe it wasn't anticipated, but there is evidence in the scientific literature that they saw evidence of resistance not many years. I'm talking a few years after the introduction of some of these antibiotics, and now we're dealing with Utah. What have we reaped here?
I didn't realize there was early evidence of resistance. That's fascinating. I think of the late, and I think rather great, Michael Crichton. I know he wrote some moderately trashy stuff, but I think
which was the book that was most related to this subject?
Well, Jurassic Parking Lot.
Yeah, Jurassic Parking Lot.
Well, in the book, he has his mouth. He has a number of characters in the book. One of them is just a mouthpiece for him and his philosophy, but he has a character say nature will find a way. So you decide you're going to engineer something that will never be able to breed. Within a generation, it will be able to breed. You create a drug and you're sure it will kill all microorganisms because it's a war method.
It is so potent, it's going to wipe them all out. Yeah.
And you're coming out of what? Pre-World War I and then World War I. You're coming out of some of the big European wars, and you think, we can wipe out people on the battlefield. Clearly, we can wipe out the germs in them. It's the same idea. Again, my great-grandfather, we'll get into more of that later, but his name is listed in the early studies of mustard gas and these other things as effective. I mean, we knew they were deadly in wartime. Now we're going to use them on patients. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is in my family. So then they decided they're going to take this stuff that disrupts cell walls, and they're going to drop it into people. They didn't say, maybe you have some bacteria in you that are useful. Or why is it that we all are surrounded by these bacteria all the time, but you get sick now? What is different about your circumstance than about, you know, Fred's or John's or mm-hmm. Melissa's? What is it? Do we really have to try to destroy everything in your body? And what will happen if we do?
Yeah, well, we have to destroy you in order to save you. This is the concept of the chemotherapeutic game of chicken that is played. And it's not only in cancer. As we see now, with infections, this has been played throughout a lot of the latter half, and especially when it increased, of the 20th century. That the idea is, well, we can napalm your body, and we hope that you'll survive it. And you know, it's more obvious in cancer chemotherapy. We recognize that, like the mustard gas is converted into oncology or oncology medicines. But the antibiotics themselves are proving to be as dangerous in their disruption, not only of the healthy gut ecology, but of their inflammatory damage to the epithelial lining of the intestines themselves. And now we have basically destroyed the protective layer of our immune system, and we become susceptible not only to bacterial infections, but viral infections for which antibiotics do not work.
Right, and viruses are what? Deranged expressions of deregulated cells? Nobody can give you a straight answer to that question. when I was young, my mother, being a doctor, when I would get sick, would sort of look at what I had, and she would sometimes let me, this was her word, tough it out. And I'm glad when she did let me tough it out, because
right.
I would get over something and get better and be stronger. But sometimes she would give in, more often than I think I would have wanted, to antibiotics. Now, she didn't look at the amount of sugar that was in my diet. This was also given to me by my family, the family of doctors. There was no concept of nutrition, by the way, in this family of doctors. Nobody ever said you're eating so much sugar that you're a petri dish and the bacteria like you, so stop eating the sugar, start eating the vegetables and the greens and you'll feel better. Nope. Just more bacteria, more sugar, and a medium in which to grow them. So I would take these antibiotics, and I would be sick for weeks, literally yeah. weeks. I would just be down and out for weeks, and it would be this miserable, slow recovery. As I got older, I stopped taking them, and my immune system was strengthened by having gone through a number of illnesses. In my adult life, I just don't take these things. What do? I mean, I take antibacterial nutritional supplements, like what? Like a lot of vitamin C orally, like citrus seed extract, like oregano oil. There's so many things that work that are antibacterial, that don't decimate your body, that actually help your body to thrive, conquer. Mm. I had something that I was sure was going to be like a 2-week flu. I could feel the knives entering my throat through the flesh. You know,
right.
I just knew what was happening. And I said, I'm going to do something I've never done. I'm going to really mass dose vitamin C for 2 days. I was doing radio, and I did it. And within 2 days, this thing that I could – I mean, you know what a really bad illness comes – it feels like, because you've had it in your life. You know when you
sure.
feel, and it's creeping through your body. And I didn't know if it would work, but I probably took 45 to 50 grams of vitamin C in 2 days. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not telling you to do it. But it, my God.
Well, look, you had success. We've covered success stories of intravenous C in relation to people that were considered dead, basically. So we know the viability, the validity. I mean, I've covered things like this with Dr. Batar, with chelation nutrients. And some of these aren't even what I would call whole food, but they're certainly, how would we call them? Intermediate steps, but really wonderful in that they're not intoxicating the patient. They're getting them well. And of course, we want to get them, as Liam does. We both believe food is our medicine. And that's what we'd like to, get back to. Here in the case of this story, and I'll have it linked up here at the blog through thenewscientist.com, this article about the superbugs being here to stay. And, a lot of people don't realize the ease with which is, and that's why I said I've referenced some stories that I've read in the journals where they actually acknowledge that they started identifying the resistance shortly after the antibiotics came out. So it wasn't like they were completely innocent. Oops, we didn't know. I mean, they actually knew, but they continued to think, well, it's not going to be a big problem. And it's turned out to be a huge problem. But basically, these microbes, which are, have genetic material, they have a genetic code, and they are confronted by a massive change in their environment, right? They're threatened with their existence, toxins. They throw poisons into their environment. And nature, like you said, Michael Crichton, always finds a way, does it not? And so some of these microbes, these bacteria that are not destroyed, express new DNA, new code, based on the environmental stressors or threats to their existence. And this is what life does. And the idiot scientists still can't figure it out, even though they know this mechanism occurs. They know the gene expression is occurring due to these challenges to the existence of these microbes. Yet they continue to persist in spending billions of dollars that the American people do not have in a futile research effort to develop even more powerful chemotherapeutic agents, when we can just simply, as I talk about all the time here, restore integrity to the terrain of the body, restore the balance, and then there's no place for these microbial pathogens to go and grow. You have an ability to withstand and live in that happy place, that bacteriological happy place where the balance exists.
Bacteria are happy people.
Shiny, happy people, Don, don't you think? Don't you laugh when you see bacteria? I know.
Well, I mean, for me, when I look at it, it's, everything you're saying makes sense. But the bottom line is, where's the money in that? Where's the money for big pharma and for the government? You know, the money is in the disease. It's not in the medicine.
Something
that we need to get back.
Don, the disease, the microbes, the pathogens, they're on the money. Then the Federal Reserve's printing them up, and man, they are just loaded with these deadly economic bacteria. That's part of it. The law of the terrain exists all the way around. That's what we do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, cover these issues like nowhere else in media. We're going to take a quick break here. Super Don's at the board. We got Liam Sheff in the house. Robert Scott Bell Show's rocking on for health, freedom, and liberty, explaining some things that are seemingly inexplicable by scientists paid for by taxpayer funds through NIH, CDC, FDA, wherever. But you'll get the real story right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Coming right back with Liam Sheff after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
A little bit more on the superbugs here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, because, you know, one of the things I've covered over the years about the science of the superbugs that they never wanted to acknowledge, because they like the fear factor here, even though we know that it ultimately leads to a non-drug approach, because that's where it's all going. The reality is they're trying to frighten people into saying, we need more money to research the new powerful ones. But it turns out, you know, it used to be that the microbes that were resistant, for instance, to methicillin, the methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, MRSA, were no stronger than the regular Staphylococcus aureus in general context. In fact, they might have been weaker based on some experiences I'll share with you momentarily. But they were devastating in the presence of the methicillin that they were resistant to. In other words, they made a very specific genetic adaptation to methicillin. It wasn't that everything in the environment, you know, was they're suddenly stronger for that too. As evidence where I've seen the tests conducted of utilization of silver in vitro against the staph and against the MRSA, And in a number of cases, the MRSA was more susceptible, not less so, to the silver, which we know silver is an antibacterial substance, among many other things that it does. But this is the first time I'm seeing in this article, and we have it linked, that these bacteria that become superbugs are now, they're calling them superbugs. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. They're saying the bacteria independently evolved one of five DNA mutations also associated with antibiotic resistance. Something peculiar happened. In other words, something more happened. In five of the 50 resulting strains, the bacteria could outcompete typical non-resistant bacteria when both were grown in a dish, even in the absence of antibiotics. So now we're seeing the adaptation is to become stronger than. So now I'm acknowledging that the superbug moniker is accurate, and that is very concerning to me. Now, I still don't believe it's going to be any stronger against, let's say, the antimicrobials of the natural world, but it's showing me that the harder Big Pharma pushes this chemotherapeutic agenda, the more nature, like Michael Crichton, as you referenced, Liam, will say nature will always find a way. But in the meantime, we the species, right, we the human species become weaker because of all this chemotherapeutic assault. That's what we're looking at right now.
Bacteria are brilliant. They sort of swap cores at will. You can't kill them. You can't outsmart them. They'll thrive and survive. What you have to do is feed the good ones, right? And don't feed the bad ones. So we have all kinds of friendly guys, and maybe girls too. We have all kinds of friendly bacteria in our intestines hanging out, having a good time, converting our food into essential nutrients, helping us stay alive, and stopping the bad ones. Nobody ever said feed the good ones, but now we know that the majority of our cells are what? Visitors. They're bacterial. What's the word? Symbiotic organism.
Yes, symbiotic. Now, in this study, or you know, they had the counterpoint here, right? Point counterpoint here. We have the surprising findings. They were surprised to find this. And then we have Jim Carroll, who's an antibiotic resistance researcher at the University of Leeds in UK. He says that the problem could be tackled by always using the antibiotics that have the highest fitness cost of the bacteria. In other words, the most toxic, the most powerful chemotherapeutic agents, in order to reduce the chance that this positive, what they call epistasis, in other words, epigenetic, you know, we're talking about the genetic expression changes. But this other guy, who is this, Dionisio, he actually says something very intelligent. He says what's really needed is an alternative to antibiotics. But
ding, ding, ding.
But of course, his alternative is it's another drug, but he says we need a drug that will stop the transfer of genetic elements between bacteria. In other words, he wants to shut down the communication tool. It's not going to happen. So he's only partway there. He says, yes, we need an alternative. I give him props for that, but he goes right back to the drug model. How do we disrupt communication, which is all about what drugs do, destroy the communication, the intelligence of our healthy cells?
Stop.
And might there be a side effect to this? Maybe, possibly. You know, I mean, when we start messing with stuff, we're stopping communication. You know, I mean, you know, what do you? Oi, never mind.
Oi is a good word, Don. What do you?
Oi, veis mia. I want to talk to my friendly bacteria. Come on, yeah. Mike's getting in my way.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not as articulate as the two other guys in the studio over there.
No, it's all right. Bagels, lox, and bacteria.
It's got it. I don't understand. You keep doing the same thing.
Expecting a different result.
Expecting different results. You know, start off with antibiotics, killing every germ in sight. The antibiotics become less effective. The germs become resistant to the antibiotics, causing scientists to do what? Create stronger antibiotics. If you just take the logic in that, just by itself, you know, the antibiotics are causing superbugs. So if we create stronger antibiotics, the result might be what?
See, we got superbugs and we got super producers. And super producer Don gets it.
Yeah, speaking, I think, perfectly eloquently for common sense, right? This is the point of view. Eggheads can't get this kind of thing. Now, as he's saying, as Don was saying, now we need to interrupt the communication transport vehicle. What will that do to our cells? Do we know how our cells... By the way, again, we're colonized by bacteria, so shut down the communication of bacteria. You may find that the simple cold is now cured by something called death.
Death, yeah. Well, remember the gut brain, right? The gut intelligence. We're talking about the serotonin that's produced, that is a brain chemical in the gut because of bacteria. And you shut down the ability of for bacteria to communicate. We're going to kill ourselves. These scientists are hell-bent on not only genocide of one race of people, but the entire human race at this point.
It's the arrogance of man. And they do it time after time after time. It's the same thing when you look at Monsanto.
Where's Cindy Lauper when you need her?
With Monsanto and their genetically modified organisms, the same thing. With the super weeds, you know, you genetically modify, you get the super weeds. Then they're trying with the frankenfish. You got Aqua Bounty thinking they can genetically modify a fish. But, oh, don't worry about it. Didn't you learn from Monsanto?
That's why we need.
Saw what they did. Oh, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine.
Gee, that's why we need to increase the budget of Washington, D.C. We can't have this debt ceiling collapse because what will we do? We won't be able to pay the scientists to kill us.
You maniacs. They blew it up.
Yeah, it's time for the Animaniacs. Hey, there's good news on the horizon here.
Didn't they learn from the end of Planet of the Apes?
No, they obviously did. Charlton Heston didn't make a big enough impression in that movie. That's why they had to go to Wahlberg, and that didn't work. Now they're trying it again, a third time. Let's restart the Planet of the Apes.
Those arrogant scientists, when will they learn?
Well, guess what? There's good news. There's more drug approvals in 2011 at this point. In 2011, then the entirety of 2010. We're saved. The drugs are on the way, Don. Liam, we're okay. Yeah. We're going to make it.
Oh, good. No, we can shut this down. We don't have to do a show anymore. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Problem solved.
We're fine now. Yeah. Bring it on. Roll it out. Put it in candy.
Sweat bullets. They're sweating bullets because patents are going to run out next year, and they're trying to do everything they can, pulling out all the stops.
Approve everything. Approve everything. Yeah. This is what they've been crying about. Well, we're going out of patent, and we don't have enough drugs in the pipeline, yet FDA has approved more in 2011, and what we're halfway, a little more than halfway through, than the entire of 2010. This is, again, more of the insanity we've been talking about, and this is why people need to continue reading natural news, continue to listen to Robert Scott Bell Show, and of course, Liam Sheff has his own humble little show over there at Blog Talk Radio. You should crank it up, but of course, he's been on this show a number of times, and I would encourage all of you listening right now, if you're new to the Robert Scott Bell Show, go back to the archives at Natural News Radio. Phenomenal things that we've covered, including the myths of science or scientism, and we've covered, and Liam mentioned it briefly, for those of you who are new, the whole idea of polymerase chain reaction, PCR, how they're determining whether something's there or not there. I mean, you will be shocked by the amount of misinformation and non-information parading as legitimate scientific information that is basically directing what you believe, how you behave, what you do, what drug you take, that you take drugs at all. And all of these things designed to shorten your lifespan, but get all the money out of you for those drugs as soon as possible. And if you can't afford it, we will hire Obamacare, and they'll pay for it, which means your neighbor will. Or if you're the neighbor, you're going to pay for your neighbor's care to be drugged when she doesn't suffer from a drug deficiency disease. That should be clear to everybody.
I'm just thinking of the next move that the pharmaceutical company will take on. I think they'll try to take over Halloween, so it becomes, used to... You can't take an apple anymore because it might have a razor blade. Now I think we're going to knock on the door,
yes,
and we're going to give out prescription drugs. This is going to become, like the pharmaceutical Halloween. You go, can I have some? Oh, Viagra. Look at that.
Wait. You're not. Wait, you're 13? Okay, you can have 12. No, I don't know, right? Yeah, they're going to bring down the ages.
Look, it's a new... Hey, here's a new antibiotic. It might not cause you to die immediately.
It's a very pretty color that doesn't exist anywhere in nature, but it's perfect for Halloween.
Wait a second. The stuff they give out at Halloween, I swear, that is the gateway drug to the major pharmaceuticals. I mean, all that color, artificially colored sugar bombs? All right.
Oh, yeah. That's leading to metformin, right? The glucophage deficiencies for all you diabetics out there. And I hope they're not out there in the Robert Scott Bell Show. If they are and they listen, they'll know what to do to counteract it and reverse it. In fact, we'll talk about that and more. We've got one more segment here on the Robert Scott Bell Show today. Having a great time with two of my dear friends, my super producer Don, as well as Liam Sheff in the house here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Remember, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Also want to give a shout out to the Prepper Podcast Network. Thank you for picking up the show as well and streaming it out to even a larger global audience. Yeah. The audience is listening. The people are growing. Oh, no, we got to get them birth control. No, not here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. What? The freedom to heal is yours. We're coming right back after this, I hope.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products, tastes like water, and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Wrapping up today's Robert Scott Bell Show with my dear friend Liam Sheff in studio, liamsheff.com. Super Don's being vocal. Not every day. You know, some days you just don't have a voice, Don, but you've been letting rip. You were so frustrated when we started today's show, I had to let you bust out.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. It
was the Tea Party terrorist.
My stress level has gone down, yes.
The Tea Party terrorist. That's what it was. It's like, oh my gosh, you don't want the government to spend money. You're a terrorist. And, you know, these are the things that when we get into political healing, I know it upsets some people, but it's time to wake up and be an adult here. A great article by Wes Messimore. He's the humble libertarian. Peace, Love, and Liberty, great blog that he has, and I met him at one of the Nullify Now conferences, good guy. He wrote this, is stunning, Bush 2.0, 100 ways Barack Obama is just like George W. Bush. 100, not 10, you know, it could have been the top 10, you go, okay, 100, he actually lists 100. Now, I've been saying this, and I've been upsetting a lot of Obama supporters about this. I said, listen, Obama to me is like Bush on steroids, on government steroids, because Bush was growing government like, you know, no other Republican, although the Republicans have grown government before, we acknowledge that. But in this case, Bush, Obama, is there a real big difference? Honestly, when you look at the Iraq so-called police action, well, the UN said it was okay, so we did it. No difference really there. And, you know, I get some people arguing, and Don, I know you cover this because you have to cover a lot of political talk radio stuff as well. They'll, you know, some of the people, that my friends that are on the left will say, oh, well, look, he's drawing down the troops. And never do they acknowledge the fact that all of the money that they're saving by pulling those troops out goes immediately to private contractors to replace the troops. Whether it be called Halliburton or not, it's irrelevant. Now it's Obama's private war. So that's a big one. And, of course, the surge in Afghanistan was another. A second surge in Afghanistan. A phony Afghan withdrawal. The rise of drone warfare. I mean, this is the stuff we were criticizing Bush about, just indiscriminately sending these things in there. Who are the terrorists, I ask you? You know, sending these things raining down on innocent people. Liam, am I being out of sorts here?
You're an American.
I'm an American.
You're un-American.
Oh, I'm un-American, of course. Because I don't want to bomb foreign countries willy-nilly without constitutional mandate.
There may be hundreds of thousands of dead people because of the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq.
It's kinetic military action.
Oh, I stand corrected. Go ahead, Liam.
Yeah. We're liberating people from the trouble of having to eat, to go to the bathroom. We've liberated a lot of people from this miserable process of life. You know, I'm sorry. I've been looking up death tolls for Iraq. Something you don't want to do if you want to feel happy about the direction of the country. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. The Lancet put out a study. They got up to 600,000 a few years ago. I didn't take a look at all the metrics of their study. It's shocking to think of how many people are dead over there because of the war that is for the what that happened and when and
right,
how.
Right.
And what are we getting? And
Liam, am I a T for proposing to bring the troops home to save the money and then eliminate the issue with the debt ceiling, almost like that? You know, bring some of the troops. Don't replace them with private guns. Just bring them home, save some money, and then we're out of the debt ceiling crisis, at least for a while. That would make me a T.
I want Super Dick Cheney to go over there and fight his own. I want Kellogg, Brown, and Root to fight their own battles. Thank you very much. And I don't want to pay for them if they feel that there's something worth fighting for over there. I want energy independence. I want this country to invest in all this kind of stuff. Am I a terrorist? Is this Tea Party stuff? I want some American independence. I want us to have energy in our neighborhoods. I want us to have micropower. I want the whole Southwest to be blanketed with solar. I want the windy passes to be with wind. I want the watery with geothermal. We can have electricity in this country without digging into the coal stuff. We can do a lot. We're still going to use oil, but we can make things really work well. We can remake the whole thing. Am I a terrorist? Am I a terrorist for not wanting to have to?
Clearly, right?
Sounds like homegrown terrorism.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we don't support the Patriot Act. Oh, that means we're not patriotic. I mean, look at what Obama has done. He's ramped up the Patriot Act. He's become as favorable to that. Renditions of Americans, ability to kill Americans overseas if they're declared non-combatants or whatever they are. The TSA, the groping, the X-raying. This has become now a Democratic agenda. How about the war on drugs? What wasn't the Democratic side for the freedom of the people and let's not, basically imprison minorities, which is basically the drug war is an attack on primarily, as you know, the people, the preponderance of the people are being put into jail on these drug charges, nonviolent drug offenses even. So the war on drugs, the Obama administration, what did they do? They put guns in the hands of Mexican cartels. Why? And didn't tell anybody here what was going on. As I mentioned, CIA rendition, ignoring habeas corpus. I mean, I've got this linked up, Don. This is stunning information for those that think, well, no, Obama's hope and change. Listen, Obama is Bush on steroids.
Well, and this just goes to show, as I was talking about at the beginning of the show when my head exploded, that there is no difference. And I really honestly have some faith and belief that people are finally starting to wake up and starting to see this, that it doesn't matter who you put in office, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, it's the status quo every time. With a few, different differences on the outside, but the what really matters, forget about the God, gays, guns, flag burning, abortion, those are social issues. But when it comes down to what really matters in this country and the problem that we've got, it doesn't matter whether you've got Bush, you've got Obama in there, they're just going to carry the torch and they're going to keep doing the same thing as long as people continue buying the same line every election cycle.
Yeah, and indeed. And that's why, nutrition, we talk about health and healing from a physiological perspective here. How important I believe it is so that people will have the ability to think, to have cognitive abilities to see this stuff and then react appropriately. What I think is inappropriate is reacting and going, oh, you just hate Obama. Look, we talked about Bush doing things that we disliked, and it wasn't because he was a Republican or a Democrat. It didn't matter. It was, we talk about humans doing stupid human things, ignorant human things, arrogant human things, and regardless of your background or anything like that, what you do matters. What your name is, maybe not so important, but what you do matters. So what we want to do is see about a wake-up call. The wake-up call has to be, we've got to clean up our act, we've got to get the government out of our lives, get the FDA out, nullify them. By the way, I'll be at the Nullify Now conference August 20th in Kansas City, and I hope to see you all there. But, what can we do? We got about a minute left here. We got to solve all the planet's problems here.
I say it again. You're un-American.
Yes, to love the Constitution, to defend liberty, is now un-American in this Orwellian, Obamanian. Oh, yeah, the Obama maniacs? What is it?
I happen to agree with you, by the way, so I'm an American, too.
Okay. No, I think, Don, you know, we might get in talk radio circles, certain pseudo-neoconservatives might not like what we're saying, but we don't give a flip about their opinion because they're hoodwinked and they're all on drugs.
Yeah, probably they are.
Well, with that, we're going to wrap it up today. Thank you for being here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We hope to be back tomorrow right here on Natural News Radio, and we'll enjoy some more powerful healing like nowhere else in media. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Liam. Thank you, you. And, of course, we'll be back because the power to heal is yours.
Un-American.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow-fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow-fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.